Welcome to Authors of the Pacific Northwest, where we connect Pacific Northwest authors with new listeners and provide advice for aspiring authors on the business of writing. I'm your host, Vicki J. Carter. So hi there, podcast listeners. Thanks for coming back to the podcast. Today, I am so super excited, and like I said, I know I say that often, but this author I'm thrilled to have on the show. We have a number one New York Times best-selling author, Susan Wicks. So Susan, would you like to say hi to our listeners?
I would love to say hi to your listeners, and Vicki, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I think there's a lot you can share with us that are working our way towards publication, so let's just jump right in. So, Susan, first, why don't you tell our listeners what state in the Pacific Northwest you call home?
Oh, okay. I live in Washington State, and I actually live on an island close to Seattle. So those ferry boats that you see coming and going from Seattle. Anyway, I live on Bainbridge Island in Washington State. It's beautiful there. It's a lovely place to write. But I do have to say that if you're a writer, you just write no matter where you are. I'm just lucky to be able to do it in a lovely spot.
Well, Bainbridge Island is one of my favorites, and I'm going to just let all you podcast listeners know, if you hear noise in the background, it's because Susan's actually doing this interview from London, so we're pretty honored to have her state taking some time out to do the interview, but she's in the middle of London. Those are the sounds you're hearing in the background. Kind of cool that we could do international podcasts, so super cool. But Bainbridge is one of my favorite places, and I love the ferry. It is a dream of mine to someday live somewhere like that, but right now we're going to be content with where we're at.
Well, you know, and the fact that I'm in London actually is a good lead into what it's like to get published and be published. The reason I'm here is to meet with my UK publisher. I've got a meeting set up with them next week. So I obviously came in several days early in order to enjoy London and scheduled this. I overscheduled myself. I think a lot of writers and women tend to do that.
Yes, we do.
We did not too much, but I really didn't want to miss out on that. So welcome to London. I'm actually standing by the Piccadilly Theater from 1912. Waiting for a restaurant table.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, I feel like we're there with you. And you were just recently in Spain as well, because we tried to do the recording and do our podcast, but we got messed up last week. So you were in Spain last week. Were you meeting with a publisher there?
Yep, I was. I had a publisher meeting in Madrid with my Portuguese and Spanish publishers, HarperCollins Iberica. And it's so surreal to look at a table of your books that you can't even read because they've been translated, and yet there they are. So it's a real treat to be able to do it. It's a piece of publishing that's a little bit invisible to people. And one thing that your listeners might enjoy knowing about is that some authors have an international career even before they have, you know, they're a big name in the U.S. In fact, you know, I have a friend who, she's a best-selling author in Greece, and she's never had a book published in the U.S. yet. So
it's kind of a different stream.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And we live in such an awesome time where travel isn't as taxing on people. It's still taxing to travel. I've traveled plenty to know this. But also, we can stay in connection so much better because of technology. So it's absolutely fascinating. So Susan, why don't you tell us first, your genre. I know your genre, but there might be listeners to the podcast that don't know your genre as well, and kind of list to us what you have published out there.
I will. I started out as a historical romance reader, a very avid one. I mean, I was reading a couple books a week of historical romance back in the 80s. This was 31 years ago I sold my first book, so I've been at it a while.
Yeah.
And I did the thing that, you know, many passionate writers do. I started writing the kind of books that I love to read. Mm-hmm. And I published a number of historical romances, and then I became interested in contemporary stories, and so I wrote contemporary romances, and the books that I'm writing right now, some are known as when it's fiction, and some are known as, just domestic fiction or just fiction, which I always like to hear.
So,
so it's a pretty loose definition, but you know exactly what it is when you look at the cover. You go, oh, that's what it is. It's about, you know, family drama and all the loves that fill a woman's life and her relationships with her lover, her husband, her friends, her family. I'm endlessly fascinated by people's interactions and relationships, and my books are always about that, amped up with a lot of drama.
Awesome. Well, drama is in life all around us every day. Plus, it makes great writing material.
Yeah.
It does. So, Susan, tell us, walk us through your journey just a little bit. I mean, you had your first book published 35 years ago. So the publishing industry has changed a lot, I would assume, in the last 35
years. It hasn't. You know, it's still really, really, really hard to break in. Mm-hmm. I think the number of publishers has definitely shrunk. Commercial publishers, there are just such different avenues now, including EPUB and self-pub and things like that. Those weren't really options back in the 80s, but the process is still the same. You need to find a publisher who's willing to put your work out there for readers. And it's, you know, that's way oversimplifying, but I was that avid, passionate reader who morphed into an avid, passionate writer. I was a school teacher. I was a young mom. I had a little baby. Mm-hmm. And every day, every night, I would put my baby to bed, and from 9 to midnight, I would write. And I would write on the weekends, and I would write in the summer. And I was a full-time teacher and had a very full life, and yet somehow I produced 2 books a year.
Wow.
And and what I like to tell people is you make time for what's important to you. Mm-hmm. If you really, really want to write, you will.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You must. Nobody's going to do it for you, and it's the most, before you're published, it's incredibly thankless. You have to be self-motivated. You have to love the process, and I really did. I loved discovering my stories. I loved making them up and putting them, you know, down on paper and seeing them turn into whatever the next novel was.
Yeah. So, Susan, did you start out, I mean, I would guess 35 years ago, self-publication or, you know. It was traditional.
No.
Did you start out hunting for a publishing company first? Did you go for the agent route first?
I knew enough through Writer's Digest. It was a magazine back then. Now I believe it's a website. But I knew enough through that and through, you know, my local library that I should probably have a literary agent. But as people know, agents don't want to talk to you unless you have an interested publisher. And publishers don't want to talk to you unless you are represented by an agent.
Yeah, it's so, catch 22.
Yes, you have to sort of work your way into that. And I did approach a number of agents and didn't really get anywhere doing that. I was just lucky enough to find a publisher. They're still around, Kensington Books.
I know Kensington.
With all their, I found one that was willing to look at an unsolicited, unagented manuscript. And it's fun for me that that my original editor who bought that book in 1987 is still in the business. Her name's Wendy McCurdy, and she still works at Kensington. So it's fun whenever we see each other at a conference or something like that, because I was one of her first authors and she was my first editor. So I'm oversimplifying again. I mean, I sent my work out to many places and ended up with many, many rejection notices and frustrations and thank you, no thank you. But I learned a lot along the way. And And so after I found my publisher, then I had some options for agents. Then there were agents who wanted to talk to me because I had, you know, an option with a publisher and I needed help with that. So onward we went.
So what's your biggest advice as far as agents go? I mean, there's so many. I mean, it's hard to get started, right?
Thank you for bringing that up, because I always like to tell people, no matter what, never, ever, ever, ever pay an agent any sort of reading fee. The agent earns a commission from selling your work. And so it's really, really crucial to, you know, not afraid of that, because unfortunately they really they kind of prey on writers, which is ridiculous to me. I think, you know, I compare, you know, stealing from writers to stealing a blanket from a homeless person, you know, it's just, we're so vulnerable. Yeah. So yeah, my first thing is make, you know, clear that and make sure that there's no fees associated with whatever agent you sign with. They work on commission only. And so that's number one. And then number two, obviously you need somebody with a track record who has a plan for you. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. get on the phone with them. I know it's awful. It's awkward. You'll probably throw up before you call them. And,
no, but it's true.
I know. Just to hold your nose and do it. You've got to make it happen. And then, you know, see if you connect, see if they have a plan for you. They have to love your book, you know, and they will. They'll read it. They'll say, I'm so excited. I can totally see this. Here's who, you know, I can see you publishing with. And so when once you hear that enthusiasm, you know, and you feel like you have good chemistry with this person, that's when you start, you know, down the road. It's, you know, it's, again, it sounds all very smooth, but it can be a bumpy ride. Yeah. And I know it's hard. It really is. But you just have to, you know, just persist and keep your work as good as it can be. Because really, the only thing you get to control is your own work and the quality of your work. Everything else is a game of chance.
I think that's why I asked that question, especially of authors that have agents or that are doing very well, you know, in their world, that an agent would notice them, is because I come, if you've listened to the podcast, Susan, you know, I come from a little bit from music history.
Yes.
Music industry. And so agents and publishing, the traditional route, makes me nervous because I've seen the other side of it, probably more than some authors going into it. Mm-hmm. I kind of know what the scope could be, and I know what's out there, and I know what's good and what could be bad in the scenario. And it's kind of scary. So I appreciate your advice a lot. Fantastic advice. I'm not in any place yet to where an agent would even look at me, but it's great for others that are listening to the podcast that may be there.
So. Yeah. And it goes without saying that before you even, you know, say one word to an agent, you definitely want a finished, polished piece of work. Not a great idea for a novel, but a great novel.
Yeah.
Because believe me, they don't have the time or the patience to sit there and listen to your great idea for an unfinished, you know, opus.
Oh, yeah. But you can do that all day somewhere else. So, you know, they don't even have to look for those people that come around, right?
right. So, and then I guess the other one, the other bit of advice I would offer is find a well-established agency in whatever genre or field you're interested in, and then pick somebody who's junior at that agency. You know, don't pick the top. You know, like my agent is with the Jane Rosen agency, and she's very senior there. And so it probably would be harder to get, you know, some attention from her. But there are always newer agents, up-and-coming agents, who are hungry to find that new talent. Uh-huh. And they really want to. That's the lifeblood of publishing, is the new talent.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love that. Great advice. Totally great advice. I wasn't even thinking about going the agent route or traditional, as you probably heard on my podcast. I'm leaning towards self-publication.
Yes.
But I like the idea of some of the traditional aspects. And, you know, I do like some of that. So great advice. I talk to a lot, all my authors that come on the podcast, about marketing. For you, you have a marketing machine behind you, I would assume, at this point.
Yeah, and that's one reason that's one reason that traditional publishing is a really good fit for me, because I'm not a marketer, I'm not good at it, I'm not actually even interested in it, you know.
Yeah, and you really have to be involved if you need
right.
to. And your stuff is beautiful, by the way. Your website's gorgeous. Your photos, beautiful. So
thank you. Yeah, that's all part of the machine. Yeah, and I'm very fortunate that I didn't have to. I had to weigh in on things and participate, but I didn't have to have the global vision that it takes to launch a brand for an author.
Yeah, cool.
Thank goodness.
Well, it's nice. And I actually love looking at authors that have a machine behind them for me, because I'm like, oh, okay, I know what the standard should look like now, kind of a thing. So it's really nice. So,
yep.
So, Susan, tell us a little bit. I read on your website that, and I thought this was amazing, that you have gone to a writing group by, you know, from boat. You know, you have to get to on the boat to go to your writing group. So let's talk a little bit about your support groups and associations that you're involved with. And I like to share anything that I can with our listeners, so anything I can write down and add so they can find those in their area as well. And also, talk to me or share with us if you feel like those have been invaluable for you becoming who you are today, and share with us your ideas about support groups and associations.
Absolutely. I think that everybody has their own, their own comfort zone about, how they work. And for me, I need a balance between being all by myself and composing new work and then putting it out there and sharing it, and having somebody's ear. And so for me, it was just natural to reach out to other writers, either through the local library or through a writer's associate, like a genre association, Romance Writers of America or SCBWI for children's books, Thrillers International. There's a genre organization for every single genre. And so it's always good thing to go to some meetings of these people, maybe a workshop or two, maybe you click with somebody. And for me, it was always people that I'm friendly with who are really, really, really good writers. And what it does for me is it keeps me on track, because if you're a novel writer, you're looking at anywhere from several months to several years of work before you're done. And so you kind of need you need that regular thing. If I know that every other week I need to show up with a chapter, well, by God, I'm going to do the chapter.
Exactly. So that's your point.
Yeah, exactly. It's for me, it's a way to pace myself through a really, really long piece of work, because it's a little overwhelming, if you just think, I've got to tackle a novel. And more often than not, you kind of lose your motivation and lose your mojo. And so I think having to show up with your homework every couple weeks, or, however you schedule your meetings, for me, that's been really great. And I live on an island. And so if the meeting's on the mainland and the weather's good, I'm likely to go in my boat and, not have to be in traffic. It's really great. But yeah, I encourage writers to connect. Yeah. And in almost any town now, there's writers, and there's also, I'm sure, virtual writer groups everywhere. Awesome. Yeah. You can reach out on the web and find somebody.
Yeah. I have a couple of really good writer friends that I met through the podcast, and they're still working on their first work, but they're working through workshops where they're meeting with an actual author, a published author, and she or he goes through the whole process of the writing with them and critiques as they go as a group and then individually. And that's great for them because they live, rural areas, and it works great. And I thought that's such a great idea. I think it's important to have a pressure point. I tell my students all the time, I have to put pressure points for you to get things done, and same with us in our world as writers.
It's true, that's very true.
So Susan, what keeps you inspired, what keeps you motivated, keep going the 35 years? What has it been?
It's my readers. Are amazing. I can't say enough about them. To hear back from them after a book is published that their life was changed, or even their weekend was changed. Mm-hmm. It makes me think I have something to say. Somebody thinks it's important besides, my mother.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When you have something deeply emotional, which my books all are, and it resonates with another person, it makes me want to sit down every day and absolutely do my very best. So, we said at the top of the podcast that here I am in London and, on this lovely trip, and I'm about to meet with my publisher. But what did I do for the first half of the day? I sat in the library of my hotel, and you can go to my Instagram feed and
look at Instagram.
I know. So it wasn't too bad, but I absolutely was, committed to getting some pages done in this lovely setting. So I would say that's probably my main inspiration, my motivation. And my readers are so interesting. I want to write something that touches their lives and touches their hearts. And, you know, they do it again and again. I have a book coming out in July called Between You and Me. Maybe it'll be coming out by the time the podcast appears. Mm-hmm. And that one, I'm starting to hear the early reviews back. I was very scared to hear, you know, because it's something a little different for me. It takes place, it's the Amish versus the mainstream culture, and it's not an Amish.
I'm very interested in reading it. I did see it, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait till this one comes out. I think I'll love it. Yeah.
Well, it's something different, and so the early reviews, I'm very relieved. It appears that it's being very well received, so I feel really lucky in that regard.
Well, awesome. I did see your Instagram photos, and, you know, part of me was super jealous. And then I thought, you know what? The one thing that I love about Susan is that she's in the middle of one of the most amazing cities, and you've been traveling for the last 2 weeks. I've been stalking, right, on Instagram following. But you're also working, and that is the one trait that I've seen with very successful authors. A lot of people don't realize how much work goes into a book being finalized and how many years it takes from time of thought to writing to publishing and editing. It's a lot of work. And I appreciate the fact that you were working, even though you were in this beautiful setting. You found the great place, because I think that is inspiring to me to see that you're driven and you keep going. Authors that are really fantastic, they're not sitting around eating bonbons and just writing. They're doing a lot of work.
we would like to be doing that, yeah. Thank you for saying that, because I have to say, the most successful authors that I know have an incredible work ethic. Mm-hmm. One of my friends and mentors in writing is Debbie Maycomber, this uber successful, another Washington author. Oh. And I met her. She judged a writing contest that I entered before I was published. And I remember I met her at a conference or something, and the way that I met her is she was in the back of the room listening to a lecture and taking notes. Oh. And I thought, That's a really good life lesson for me. And you know, you're always be the student. Mm-hmm. Start with a beginner's mind. You know, if you've written no books or 50 books or, like Debbie, hundreds of books, always start with a beginner's mind. And there are some things that will never get easier. Some things definitely do, but coming up with something fresh and original and heartfelt is always going to be a challenge, no matter, you know, how many times you do it.
Yeah. Well, I was inspired by seeing that on your Instagram, because I'm like, I tell my students, because I work from home and everybody thinks that my job from home is this glamorous job. I still put in 60-hour work week with just my regular job for work. And I tell my students all the time, I'm still, I'm trying to become a reformed workaholic, but it's not working out so well, because now I've taken on a podcast and writing. I am at my best when I'm doing a lot and, you know, very active in that way. So I was inspired. I'm like, someday I'm going to be posting Instagram pictures of me somewhere gorgeous like that, editing, because I will make this happen.
Well, you know, one of the things we can remind ourselves of when we get frustrated with our writing or something, we have the most portable profession. Mm-hmm. You know, we really just need paper and pencil when it comes down to it. You know, everything else is just all bells and whistles.
It's
and
true.
So you
it's
should
true.
Take advantage and, you know, take your writing with you wherever you go. Take it in your purse. Take it in your backpack.
Yeah, lots of notebooks are in my purse. Every little purse I have many of them that I grab, and there's always a notebook. So, Susan, I want to wrap up for you, because I know you're probably getting ready for your dinner, but we're going to deviate just a little bit, podcast listeners, because Susan is not going to do a reading, which is okay, because she's going to come back sometime later and do a reading, so you'll have to be on the lookout for another podcast with Susan. But I wanted her to talk about something I read about on her website about a movie coming out from one of her books, because I think that's absolutely fascinating, and I feel like that's what many of us would aspire to as authors, is to get that opportunity. So share with us the title and kind of the metamorphosis that happened from that. I'm very interested and excited about it.
I know. Yeah. I'm right there with you. You know, I should preface it by saying most of my books get optioned for film or TV. That just means that some, you know, my film agent gets a an option from a production company, but usually it never amounts to anything because they just want to have the right to develop it if they are able to put it together. And so usually the option expires and I cash the check and I go on with my life. But yeah. The Apple Orchard, which is a book that came out a couple years ago about a woman who's she's an antiquities expert, and she was like one of the most vivid characters in my mind that I've ever written. Her name's Tess. And so, yeah, so I always pictured Tess as, you know, being the star of some fabulous movie or something like that. And lo and behold, you know, I got a call. It's been a couple years now. My film agent said, well, this production company wants to do a made for TV film about it. I think the title is going to be The Apple Orchard. At this time, there's a script, there's a director, there was a star. I hope she's still attached. Her name's Brooke Burns, but you know, we'll see. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to me too, because I hear nothing. They say, well, we know we're going to film it in Canada, and you know, it's probably going to air later this year, but as far as I know, it's not done yet. But something that's even more interesting to me is the first four books in my Lakeshore Chronicles series. There's a developing deal as we speak. In fact, you know, part of my work yesterday was I had to answer a bunch of emails about that. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully watch my website or blog for news about that.
Awesome.
That the first four are going to turn into possibly a series. Yeah. So we'll see.
Very cool. Very cool. So in that process, because it's just pretty new for either one of those, do you know if you as the author get to have any input? Like, are you going to get to go on set and get to...
Yeah, I could do that. You know, I could do that. I could show up, and I certainly will if I'm ever, you know, in the vicinity, just because I'm just fascinated by the whole process.
I am too.
I'll have producer credit, but that's all. I mean, you know, and writer credit, but I won't write it because I wouldn't know how to write a screenplay. Exactly. But but I'm excited. And so, yeah, thank you for bringing that up, because as soon as I have concrete info, I will just shout it from the rooftop.
Awesome. Well, we'll keep all of our listeners involved with that too. And you guys can find Susan at Susan Wiggs, her website. I'll have it in the show notes. So be watching out for that. Since you didn't read, you're going to have to go and buy one of her books and read one of her books, listeners.
Or the audiobook, because I guarantee you that reader is a lot better than me. But yes, I will come back and read to you.
I'm not going to let you wiggle out. We'll have you come back on. I absolutely love listening to the authors read. I sit back and I listen, and I just am always inspired. And it's also a really great to hear an author read their work. Just it brings it to life for me. I don't know. That's just me. But yeah, so we'll have you back on, and we'll have eventually and have you do a reading and maybe give us an update on the series too at that point.
Okay. Well, Vicki, thank you so much. This was so delightful. I really appreciate it.
Well, enjoy your evening there in London. It's beautiful here this morning and afternoon in Washington. But I hope you enjoy your evening, and we will talk to you again very soon.
Okay. Thanks again, Vicki. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. We hoped you loved hearing from the author as much as we did. If you did enjoy the author, make sure you find them on social media. Buy their book and write a review. Are you a published author and would like to be featured on the podcast? Visit us at our website to learn more. You can help support the production of this podcast by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Share the podcast with your friends. And most importantly, become a supporter. Supporters receive monthly bonus podcasts and a newsletter filled with tips from our authors. To find out more how to become a supporter, visit our website. And finally, I hope you always remember to enjoy the journey. Until next week, this is Vicki J. Carter saying goodbye.